We begin the current daf in the Darim daf Lamed Vav. We begin on the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, the Gemara posed the following question: the Kahanim that do the Avodah in the base of Mikdash, are they Shluchei Didan? Are they our messengers? They're working for us, or are they Shluchei D'Rachmana? Are they messengers from Hashem? They're working for Hashem. And the halachic difference is regarding if, let's say, the Kohen said that Jew is forbidden to have an offer for me. If they're Shluchei Didan, then he wouldn't be able to do the Avodah. But the Shluchei D'Rachmana, then they'd be able to do the Avodah. So the Gemara attempted to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that a Kohen that was madder another person from having an offer from him could bring his Kinei Zavin, he could bring his Karbana seemingly. So you see that they're Shluchei D'Rachmana, because if they were Shluchei D'Dan, he would be doing his Shlichas, and that's considered giving Hana. So then the Gemara says that no. And it was based on Halacha Rabbi Yechanan, that they are Shluchei D'Dan. And they actually cannot bring the majority of our Karbanas. They could only bring these cases of Kinei Zavin, and all those mentioned in the Mishnah, because they're Mechusri Kapara. Because those Karbanas don't need the Das of the one that they're being brought for. So therefore, that's not like a Shlichas. So although it's being brought for him, but since you don't need his consent and his understanding, so that's why you could bring those Karbanas. But specifically from the fact that it didn't mention all the Karbanas, is because actually they are Shluchei D'Dan, and that's why they could only bring those Karbanas that don't need our Shlichas. But generally, they are our Shluchim. Now that Gemara continues and asks, Master Rav Shimon Bar Abba, so according to you that you want to assert that possibly the Kanam are Shluchei D'Dan, and the reason for our Mishnah is only because they're Mechutz Kapara, but we learn the Braisa as follows. It says, Imhoya, if the Madr was a Kayin, again, exactly like the case of our Mishnah, even so, Yizukalab Dem Chatasa V'dam HaShamay, he could spray for him the blood of his sin offering and of his guilt offering. So you see that they're obviously not Shluchei D'Dan, because here you see that all their Kabbanas, not only just the Kinei Zavin, not only things which are Mechutz Kapara, that there you want to differentiate and say that there you don't need das. Achatas and Ashram definitely needs a das of the owner. And if they were Shluchei D'Dan, they wouldn't be able to do that. Obviously, they're Shluchei D'Rachmana. Now, the Ram brings that those who want to prove from the factor of Shimon Bar Abba only asks from a Braisa and not from a Mishnah, that obviously we shouldn't be Geris in our Mishnah, which we do have in our Geris, are the words Chatois Vashamais, that the Kohen who made the Neder against someone else can bring that person's Chatz and Ashram, because then just ask from the Mishnah, why ask from a Braisa? So on that, Duran says that no, because the reason why Rav Shimon Bar Abba didn't ask from the Mishnah, even though we have the same words Chatz and Ashram too, is because since the only things that were mentioned were things that Mechusri Kapara, and which were the Kinei Zavin and Zavis and so on, so although it says Chatz and Ashram, it would be obvious from the contextual inferences that it means a Chatz and Ashram of a Metzaira, where that, as the Gemara will shortly bring, also doesn't need the das of the person. But the Braisa says stam. It just says he can throw the blood of his chatas in the ashram, which sounds like any karma chatas and any karma ashram. And that's why he was asking only from the Braisa, but really our Mishnah also says chatas in ashram, but we would say it doesn't mean the chatas in ashram of any karma. It would mean specifically that of Mitzayra, which is in that same category of Mechusei Kippurim. But from the Braisa, it definitely seems difficult. And yet in spite of the Braisa's terminology, still the Gemara actually gives that same answer, then no, it's not a difficulty from the Braisa. Because Dam Chatas Isha Mitzayra, when it says you can throw the blood of his Chatas, it means the blood of a Chatas of Mitzayra. And Dam Hasham Isha Mitzayra, and also the carbon Asham of Mitzayra, that's whose blood he could throw. The Chesed, like it says, the Pasuk Meyikra. Here you have the same division that Rabbi Yechanan said in the previous daf. It says in the Pasuk, Zayis Tia Tyrus and Mitzayra. This should be the laws of the Mitzayra, which Tyra is an inclusive term, to tell you, Ben Gadol, Ben Katan, that this halacha of bringing the carbon applies to whether it's an adult or a minor. And as we explained in the previous daf, who brings the carbon of the minor? Not the minor, it's the father. So you see that you don't need the das of the person you're bringing the carbon for, as we find because a katan who it's being brought for doesn't have his das, so too you could bring for another adult without his das, and therefore a kohen who made a neder against someone else can bring that blood, can do that void of that ashem and chatas, which is of mitzayra, because mitzayra doesn't need a das, as we see a katan is included, and since you don't need his das, that's why, although generally we could say they are Shluchei D'Dan, but here they're not our Shluchim, because here they do it even without our consent and our understanding. So the Gemara continues asking on this opinion of that the Kahanim are Shluchei D'Dan, that they're our messengers. From a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, Tanan, we learned, HaKahanim Shepigle B'Mikdash, a Kohen that commits pigle. Pigle means to say that when the Kohen is doing the Avodah, he's thinking, oh, you know what, let's eat this after the allotted time that the carbon's allowed to be eaten. Which creates pigel, which means to say that the carbon is invalid automatically. So if a kohen commits pigel, which now the person's whole animal now is invalid, so mezid chayavin, if he did it intentionally, deliberately, he wanted to make this person's carbon pasul. So then he has to pay the amount of the carbon to the owner because now he just has to, he can't use it anymore. Now, hashaygim b'turin, but the inference is, but if he did it by mistake, inadvertently, he didn't know that was the halacha, so then he's going to be exempt. He's not going to have to pay the owner for that. However, it's only that he's exempt, but elisha b'gulim pigel. But it sounds like that it will still have the halachic status of pigel. It's just that he's not chayiv. He doesn't have to pay the owner. But even though he was b'shaygig, it will have made the carbon pigel, and it's invalid. Now on that, the Gemara asks, "Iyamit b'shlem mishlucha d'shmaya have." If you say that kahanim are not, they're not our employees; they're employees for Hashem. So haynu shepigul and pigul. That's how we could understand that if they commit pigul, it becomes pigul, because the Torah Hashem made their mishliach in whatever the situation is, even if they're doing wrong. So we understand how it could create pigul, even though obviously it's for the loss of the person who's bringing the carbon. But if it's like you're trying to say that the kahanim are our messengers, so am I pigul and pigul? How is it that they could create in the carbon for it to be pigul? And the reason is because lemalei let the owner of the carbon tell the kohen, shlicha shavisach liskunei, but lo lavasi, I made you a messenger to make things good for me. I asked you to take care of a task for me, not to make things worse for me, which is a halachic concept that's wrote many times in the halachas of shlichas, which if the person doesn't do what you asked him to do and he just made things worse, he hasn't fulfilled and he's not considered your shliach. And therefore, it's not something that you're obligated in. So, as Duran explains, what the Gemara is asking on specifically is regards to when he does it by mistake. When he's doing it by mistake, then you could tell him, hey, you weren't my shliach. Now, because if the kohen does it deliberately, so on that the Gemara is not asking, because even if you're going to say that there are our shluchid idan, it's not a difficulty that the Gemara would be asking on that man da'ama that it's going to be pigel, because since he's doing it deliberately, you're right. He's not doing the shlichas of the homeowner. Rather, he's doing it with his own intention. As the Gemara tells in Masechtas Chulin, Daf Mem and Aleph, that a person can make someone else's things forbidden, even without that other person's consent, if he's doing an action. If someone takes someone's meat and milk, if someone makes someone's things usur, you can do that. The Gemara's question on the mandam shluchi didan is if he does it by mistake. If you say that there are messengers, how is it pigul? Because since he's doing it by mistake, what that means to say is that he's not doing it deliberately, he's not trying to make it forbidden, he's trying to fulfill the shlichus, the mission that the owner, the Yisraelim, sent him to do. Now he's intending to do that. If he's intending to do that, he's working within the framework of shlichus, and that is always a basic halacha shlichus, which is that I sent you to take care of things, not to ruin things. And if you ruined it, you haven't done my shlichus. And therefore, you're not my shlich in the first place. Now, a kohen that's not his shliach, he's not working for him, he has no rights, again, if it's b'shogeg, to make a pigle. So how does it become pigle? Obviously, you see that shluchad rachmona, and that's how they can make a pigle, and not shluchad idan. So that the Gemara says, no, Amri, they said that shani gabi pigle, pigle is different. To Amakro, because the pasuk says in the Yikra, lo yechashiv loy. Which the drasha is mikamokim in all situations, like the Rosh brings from the Gemara Masechta Zvachim Daf Chav Tesma Beis, that the Gemara there says that lo yichashiv, although it means that it shouldn't be reckoned for him, it also could be read lo yachshiv. In other words, that he should not have this machshava, this thought of pigul. What it sounds like is that because under all circumstances, when the kohen has this machshava of psul of pigul, it's going to be possible, even though it's not his, and essentially he should not be able to do this because he is shluchid idan. And if a shliach, it's laskuni, v'lo lavose, I didn't make you to make it worse, you're right. Generally, that is the halacha and shlichas, but here's an exception, as the pasuk is coming to say, that although generally he wouldn't be able to, here he is able to. And therefore, the Gemara has not concluded a conclusive proof from a Mishnah or Braisa, as it attempted to do, as it brought from these Braises and Mishnayis, to say if the kama shluchad idan shluchad rachmona. But however, as the Ran had pointed out in the beginning of this sugya, that from the beginning of, and in the first paragraph of Masechet Kedushin, it's obvious that the kohen are shluchei d'shmaya, and not shluchei didan, because if we can't do that avodah, which a zar cannot, for sure our messengers wouldn't be able to do that. Obviously they work for Hashem, not for us. It's just that the Gemara had attempted to bring a raya from the Mishnah Braisa, but the Gemara didn't find any raya. Now the Gemara says, Gufa, we go back to a halacha that was mentioned on the previous daf, to refute the proof from our Mishnah that Kahanim are Shluchi Dishmaya, Shluchi Rachmana. The Gemara attempted to bring a Raya by saying, wait, how could the Madur Kohen bring someone else's Karbanas? Obviously, he's not doing the Shlichas of the people, rather Shlichas of Hashem, and that's why it's not considered giving Hanot to the person. And that the Gemara says, no, it's going like Rabbi Yechanan. Since our halachas of the Mishnah of the Karbanas that are specified are for those that are Mechusi Kippurim, and Mechusi Kippurim does not require the das of the person you're bringing it for, so therefore, even if generally they are our shlichim, here they're not because they don't need our consent, and that's why even though they're made a neder against the people, they could bring their karbanas. As the Gemara had proved from Amar B'yechanan, B'yechanan says, Hakol tzrichan das, every karban requires the consent and the understanding of the person that you're bringing the karban for that you should bring it. Chutz, memechusi kapara, except for those karbanas, which essentially the person had his atonement already, he had his tahara, just as an added level of atonement which is necessary to allow them to then eat from Kodshim or to come into the Beis HaMikdash, they have to bring these certain karbanas. And there, you don't need to have that person's das. And the reason is, and the proof of this is, Sharei Adam may be karban abon of abonais v'akitanim, because as we learn from the drash of Zayis Tairas, that Tairas comes to include that you could bring a karban not just for an adult, but it's also on a minor. And who brings that? Not the minor himself, but the father. So you see that an adult could bring for someone else that doesn't have das, you could bring their carbon. Now, on this logic of Rabbi Yechanan, the Gemara asks the following questions. Elamei at, if that's the case, in other words, Rabbi Yechanan is essentially saying that he's comparing what's called efshir mishi'i efshir. In other words, he's learning out that you see in a certain area in halacha, let's take the halacha of these mechutzei kapara, that we see that there are those who, it's possible for them to have das. You could tell them you're bringing them their carbon. He's saying that you don't have to tell them. You could do it without their understanding, without their awareness. How does he know this? From what's called from e-efshir. What does that mean? There's halacha by a katan that we understand from the word zayis taras that includes that the carbon applies even to a minor. Now, a minor cannot have das. They just don't until they become adults. So, on that, Rabbi Yechanan says, oh, if you see in this area of halacha, let's call it mechusi kapara by zav and azav and all these different halachas, that you don't need to have das. Now, how do I know you don't need das? Because from a minor. You're bringing the karma from a minor. Now, however, you have to understand, a minor is efshir. They can't have das. And from there, he learns out that even for an adult, you don't need to have their das. Because you see, in this category of halacha, you don't need das, even though it's possible to have their das. So that's called, you're learning out efshir, someone that could have, for someone that's efshir. Maybe you do need das. And the only reason why you don't have by the minor is because you can't. But when you could, then you would. Obviously, Rabbi Yechanan doesn't hold like that. Because he's saying that, you see, you never have to have the person's das by mitzayra and zav, because we include minors. So the Gemara asks, based on that logic, el mi'ato, yavi adam chatas chelav al chavera. A person should be allowed to bring any karban chatas, which the classic term is always used, is a chatas for someone that eats forbidden fats. So when his friend commits that sin, he should be able to bring the karban chatas for his friend without his friend's knowledge. The reason being is, because in the same category of sin, of when someone sins of eating forbidden fats, if a person has his wife who has committed this sin, the husband brings that carbon for his wife who doesn't have das, a mentally deranged person doesn't have das, the husband brings it without her knowledge, as we brought in the previous daf, the Rabbi Yehuda holds, that a husband brings and fulfills the obligations of the wife's karbanas. As we said by Zoyis Teresa Yeledes, when she gives birth, she doesn't have das, and still the pasuk includes shaita, which we explained from the halacha of Yehuda, because the husband fulfills that obligation. So we see in the realm of this sin of chatas, of a sin of a wife, the husband, seemingly also in chatas chaylev, he will bring that karban. So you see that although it's efshir, she can't have any das, because she's a shaita, but still you learn that efshir mishi efshir. So even by a different person who commits a sin, let his friend be able to bring his carbon for him without his knowledge. Now, if that's the case, Alama Amar Belaza, why did Rabbi Belaza say, Hifrish chatas chayav al chaver? If someone separates, he's ready to bring a carbon of a chatas for his friend eating forbidden fats. Lo asa klum, he hasn't done anything. Now, why not? Obviously, because Rabbi Yechanan's logic is incorrect. That because we don't judge something that's efshir from efshir. Because you're right, a wife that's a shaita, so she can't have das. So she can't have das. So then it's done in such a way as we find that you can bring a carbon for someone that doesn't have das. But someone that could have das, that we see Rabbi Elazar saying that your friend that you're bringing without his knowledge, without his awareness, it's not going to be valid. So that refutes the logic of Rabbi Yechanan. Seth Maran says, actually not. Because ishtei shaita hechidami, what would be the case of the woman, the wife that's a shaita, to have to bring a chatas chelav? Now, essentially what the Gemara is answering is, that's not true. Rabbi Yechanan's logic is correct. That we do judge what's called efsher from e-efsher. And that's how he knows by Mechusri Kippara that you don't need to have even an adult's knowledge because we have the halach even by a minor who never has das. Now, but the question that you're asking is that what do you mean, according to Behuda, that a husband brings the karbonis for his wife, and when his wife is a shaita, he'll have to bring the karbon. So you see, a chatas chelav, someone would be bringing for someone else, albeit she can't have, but you judge efsher mishi efsher. So you see that even chatas chelav, you don't need a person's das. And the Gemara says that actually not. If Yehuda's halach of the husband bringing the carbon for the wife was not said regarding a chatas chelav, meaning when she sinned regarding eating for ben ofetz. It was only when she gives birth, and that's what we learn Zoyz Taras HaYeledis includes even the Yeledis, that's a shaita, that's when we say that the husband has to bring that carbon. And the reason being is because actually it's impossible to have a case of the wife being a shaita and being obligated in bringing a chatas chelav, that the husband should have to fulfill that obligation. So although the husband has to fulfill his wife's obligations, but it doesn't happen by a chatas chelav. So if she's exempt from bringing the carbon, so definitely her husband doesn't have to bring it for her if she's not obligated, as the Gemara explains. That ishtei shaita hechidami, what would be the case of the woman that's mentally deranged having to bring the chatas chelav? Ida'ach l'kishei shaita, if she ate it when she was insane, labas carbonate. She's not liable to bring a carbon because of her being a shaita. And where, since she doesn't have das, she's not obligated in bringing a carbon. And v'idi achle kishi bekachas v'nishtatis, and if she ate it when she was sane, so a person that sins when they're sane has to bring a carbon, then v'nishtatis, and it's then that she became insane. But ha'amir b'yimriya, amir b'avo, amir b'yechanan, that if achol chelav, let's say someone eats forbidden fats, the hifrish carbon, and then they separate a carbon because they did a sin, they have to bring a carbon. And then v'nishtata, then they became insane. Then even if b'chazav v'nishtata, even if then they became back sane again, possible, the carbon is invalid. Why? Hel v'nitcha yitcha, what's called in halacha of dichoy, which is it was rejected. Why was it rejected? Because when she became insane, then she's not someone that's applicable for a carbon. You need to have das. So you see that it's impossible to have the case at all of a wife that's a shaita of a chatas chelav. Because if she sinned as a shaita, she's not obligated. And even if she sinned when she was sane and then she became a shaita and then you want to bring her carbon, you can't. Because the moment that she becomes a shaita, it already becomes nitcha. She's already not someone that's eligible for a carbon. So it's never going to be that the husband's going to bring the wife's chatas chelav to say, oh, so even from e-afshir, but we could compare it to afshir, so then everyone could be able to bring for his friends also without his awareness. That's not true. Because we don't have it by the case of the woman. So the Gemara says, Ella, rather, you're right, we can't ask from there on the logic of Rabbi Yechanan of Efshe Mishri Efshe, but Me'ata, but we could ask a different question. According to you, Rabbi Yechanan, that you learn out Efshe, an adult that could have Das, from E-Efshe, from someone like that can't have Das, let's say by cotton, where you see that you don't need to have his Das, so to adults you don't need to. But we have a different question. Yavi Adam Pesach Al Chaver, a person should be allowed to bring the carbon Pesach for his friend without his friend's awareness. Why? Because we find in halacha that a father could bring the Karban Pesach for his sons and daughters that are minors, which obviously they don't have das because they're not adults yet. So you see that a Karban Pesach could be brought for someone, albeit e-efsher. It's not possible for them to have das, but still Rabbi Yochanan learns you learn that efsher from e-efsher. So you see by Karban Pesach you don't need to have das. Salomar, Belozah, why do Belozah say, Hifish Pesach HaChaver, if someone separates a Karban Pesach for his friend, without his friend's awareness, Lo Yaseh Klum, he hasn't done anything. And the reason being is because the halacha of Minui, which is that you have to be appointed on the Karban Pesach, you need to have the person's consent and his awareness. And you don't have that. But that rejects Rabbi Yechanan's logic, where you see the Karban Pesach, you don't need to have. Albeit by Yi Efshe, but you learn that Efshe from Yi Efshe. So on that Amr Zer, he answers the question, he says no. The pasuk in Shemais that tells us celebase avos that the people have to be appointed for a Karban Pesach for their household, which tells us that even the minors have to be counted on the carbon. So you wanted to prove from there that we see that you don't need to have das to be appointed on the carbon from the fact that the children are being counted on this carbon, even though they don't have das. So too, you're asking that the same thing should apply to any regular adult based on Rabbi Yochanan's logic. Actually, that halacha is lav d'oraisa. That's not a biblical halacha. In other words, truth is, Rabbi Yochanan's logic is true. We are dan efshir from efshir. But you can't infer to ask a question from the halachas of Pesach, because this halacha of the children being counted from celibate of this is actually not a biblical halacha, because actually biblically, a minor is not obligated to be counted with the people of the chabura of the group on the sheep. Rather, they could actually eat from it even though they weren't appointed to be part of this chabura. Now, the reason being is because although a korban Pesach could only be eaten l'menuya for those who were counted on it, that's only those that are fit to be counted. But minors that are not eligible, they're not adults, so therefore we don't even require it at all for them to be counted. That's why you can't learn from the minors who they're being, let's say, counted on the korban Pesach, even though they don't have das. So too, you're asking that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar's halacha should be incorrect, that adults should also be allowed to be part of it even without their das, just like the minors. It's not true, because even that minors, they're not really biblically being counted on it to prove that you see that even if you don't have das, they're counted, because it's not a biblical halacha to require the minors. And that's why they could be counted. Not because you don't need das, but because biblically they're not required to be counted on the Karban Pesach. And he proves this in Mimai. How do I know this? Not like we learned the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim. Mishnah says, if someone says to his children, look, I'm going up to Yerushalayim to bring the Karban Pesach and the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to slaughter the Karban Pesach. And you know who I'm going to slaughter it for? Al Mishayal Mikem Rishon LeYerushalayim. From which one of you kids are going to be the first one to get to Yerushalayim? In other words, he tells his sons, I'm going up, I'm going to be there, and I'm going to slaughter the Karban Pesach, and you know I'm going to have in mind? I'm going to have in mind whichever one of you gets there first to Yerushalayim. Now the halacha is, Kivish Shehechnes Rishon LeYerushalayim, once the first kid gets that his head and the majority of his body into Yerushalayim, Zacha Bechalkai, so he merits his part in the Karban Pesach, Umezakes Achav Imai, and then he also acquires his brothers, his siblings' portions in the Karban Pesach by him getting there first. Now, V'i Amrit Sela Beis Deraisa, if you would think that this halacha of even children, that they have to be counted on the Karban Pesach, that it's really a biblical halacha, then how would that be? Abisar Koy Umezakelu, he's standing by a piece of meat and he's able to acquire his siblings' portions in the Karban Pesach? In other words, the problem is that we understand how the first child who gets there first, that how he acquires his portion. Because although that you have to have been counted on it before it was slaughtered, and even the first child only gets there after the father had already slaughtered it, and he only said that the one who gets there first, it's being slaughtered for him to be counted on it, but that you could say that it's retroactively revealed that it was slaughtered for him because he said whoever gets there first, it's being slaughtered for. But the problem is, according to the Ran's understanding, is that, but how is he mezakeh to his brothers? But the problem is they weren't included in the father's intention to be counted on it when he slaughtered it. So although that it goes to the son retroactively, but he's only giving bequeathing to them parts in it after it was slaughtered. And that doesn't work because you have to be nimn on it before it's miyoisei miseh, when it's still alive. So therefore, obviously, it's not a biblical halacha, and that's why the other children could still be part of the Karban Pesach, because biblically, they don't need to be counted on it, and that's why they could just jump in even after it was slaughtered. Now then, the problem is, so why did their father tell them this? He made it sound like as if, okay, you have to be counted on it, whoever gets there first will be counted. So it's not because of that, because as we just explained, really, halachically, biblically, they don't have to be counted on it. The only reason why he told them this was kedei lazarzen b'mitzvos, was to motivate them that whenever they're doing mitzvahs, to do it quick, get it done. And that's why he's telling them, okay, whoever gets there first is going to get it. That's why he's telling to them. But really, it's not because of halacha of being counted in it. And that's why it's not a question why it doesn't work for an adult, because it actually doesn't even work for a minor. The only reason why it works is because it doesn't need it to work. You don't really need to be counted on it for the minor. As we learned, Tanam Halacha, similar in the Braisa, that Maisahaya, there actually was such an incident once where the father had said, okay, whichever kid gets there first, it was slaughtered for him. And v'kad mubanis labanim, the daughters got there before the sons. The nimtzu banis rizus ubanim shvelim. What turned out was that the ones who had alacrity, the ones who were quick and swift, were the daughters, and the downgraded ones were the sons. Now, the inference of this that the Gemara is proving from is it doesn't say that the daughters, they got it, that they were zoich in it, that they acquired it. And obviously, because the intention is they all get it. It doesn't make a difference who gets it first. That's not really his point. It's just that he wants to motivate them, says, okay, whoever's going to get it first is going to be the one that gets it, but everyone's really getting it. And again, that proves our point why it's not difficult. And Rabbi Yechanan, from the Halacha of Rabbi Lazar, because even if you were done Efshar Mishi Efshar, you don't see that an Efshar can be counted as a Minui, because biblically they're not even in the Halacha whatsoever. They don't even need to be Nimna Bechabura like an adult. Now the Gemara continues. So our Mishnah said, it opened up and it spoke about that although some made a neder against someone else, but there are certain exceptions, certain things that would seem like Hana that are not, that he's allowed to do for someone else. So the Mishnah said, one example is, that he could go ahead and take off the trumos, that every person has an obligation to take off trumos and tais and maestras, he could do it for him. Although he said a neder, he's not, the person can't have enough from him, he could take off that person's trumos. Now, we continue on Talmud Beis with the Gemara, we'll ask the following question, which will reflect on this halach of our Mishnah. See, by the following question. If somebody has a crop, grain, and he has to take off truma, so his friend sees, he says, look, you know, maybe he doesn't have that much money, he says, I'm going to take off from my own stuff, my own grain, truma, let's say it's 1/50th of the person's grain, he says, I'm going to take it off from my own stuff for him. You're not going to have to take off truma. I'm going to take from my own stuff truma for you, and I'm going to give it to the kohen. So the question is, sarach daitoi oy loy? Does the person who's taking off truma for the other person need the other person's consent and awareness, or not? He could just do it without the other person even knowing about it. As the Gemara's question is as follows. Mi amrina do we say, kiven deschus ulai, since it's a total favor for the other person. Well, the guy's not losing anything. He's actually, not only is he doing the work for him, he's actually taking from his own produce, and now he could keep everything. He doesn't have to give anything to the kayan. So therefore, loit sarach das, therefore you don't need to have the das of the person who you're taking off truma for. Now, although there's halacha by truma that says gam atem, which is that a person himself that has to take off his truma, and even when there's a shliach doing it for him, he has to appoint that shliach, because ma atem ladaitchem af shluchechem ladaitchem, your shliach has to have your das to be appointed. But here, since it's what's called zachem la'adam, it's a total favor, which is a halacha, you could be zeicha for a person even shalei b'fanav, even without his awareness. The reason for that is, as the Ran explains, is because it's a presumption or an assumption that it's like a shliach. Meaning, of course, I would want you to do this for me. So it's like I appointed you, even though I don't know anything about it, since it's a total favor. So maybe therefore you don't need to have his awareness. Idilmo, maybe no. Mitzvah delehi, because ultimately it's a mitzvah to be mafish truma, and it's his mitzvah. Benichal elamevdi, he would want to do it, and therefore, since he would want to do it, maybe someone else cannot just come along and take off truma for him, and you would first need to have his awareness and his consent. So that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, Toshma, come in here, let's bring a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if someone made a neder against someone else, so tarimes trumaisa ves maisreis of ladaita. So the madr could still take off the trumas and the maisis of that person according to his awareness. Now, on that the Gemara has b'maya skina. What exactly is this case conceptualization of our Mishnah? As the Gemara explains, if it's talking about that this other person, this madr, who's not allowed to give any pleasure to that person, what he does is, when we're saying he's allowed to take off that person truma, he goes and takes from that person's own grain, he takes off truma for his crop. Now, so then what would it mean that with his awareness? Whose awareness? If it means to say, meaning with the madr, the one who's coming to take off the truma, meaning with his own awareness, but the owner doesn't know anything about it. Problem with that is manshavi shliach. As we mentioned before, who made this other guy, this madr, into a shliach? The problem is because, as we said before, there's a drasha of gam atem, which tells us that ma'atem ladaitchem, meaning gam comes to include also a shliach, but gam atem, also you, has to be like you. So just like you, when you're doing it, it's because you're aware of what you're doing. So too, your messenger can only be with your awareness too. Now the problem is that we don't have what we explained before of a total schus. It's not a schus to say that it could even be shloi lefanav to be like the person's aware of it. So if he's taken from that person's own crop, where it's not a favor, it's my own stuff that you're taking for me. So who made him a shliach? He can't do it because it's without the awareness of the Baal HaBayis. So Ella Ladai to the Baal HaKri. So what would it mean then? It would mean that he went to the other person's crop and took from his own grain of Truma. With the Ladaita, he means according to the, with the awareness of the owner of the pile of the grain. Now, if that's the case, but that's difficult. Hakamahanile. But then he's actually giving pleasure, which is forbidden because he was mother to that person. The Ka'avish Lichus, how's he giving him pleasure? Because he's doing his mission. He's his messenger by taking off Truma for him. And the reason being, as the Ran says, wherever someone does something that someone else wants him to do for him, he's being Hishleach, that itself is pleasure. So even though he's not giving him anything from his own crop, and he's doing it with his own grain, but the fact that it's with his das that you're asking him to do it for him, oh yeah, go ahead and take it off for me. That's a hana. That he's doing a shlichus. So, but he can't. He can't give mana. So, rather, what are you going to say? Mishaloy al-shalakri. Rather, it's from this mother's own grain that he's taking off truma for that person's pile of grain. Uladai to demand. So then what would it mean? According to whose awareness is he doing this? If we're referring to with the awareness of the owner of the crop, that's not possible. As we said before, if he's asking the guy and the guy's saying, oh yeah, do it for me with your own green for sure, but he would be giving him pleasure because he'd been doing his shlichus. Elalav, rather the case would be talking about ledaita denafshe, meaning the only one that knows about what he's going to do is the Tarim himself. The one who made the nether is doing it, and therefore that wouldn't be considered as if he's being mahana, the mudder, the person who owns the whole crop, because he's not doing his shlichus, since he's doing it with his own awareness and not with the awareness of the Baal HaBayis, so he's not giving him anything. If he was telling him what he's doing and he's consenting, so it's like a shlichus, then you're giving him. But here, obviously, we'd be saying that he's taking from his own crop, from his own grain for that person's crop, and he's not asking him, so he's not doing a shlichus. He's doing it on his own awareness, and ledaita means ledaita of the tirim, of the mother. So obviously the understanding of this case would be when we're saying umishaloi tirim ashal chaveroi, that he's taking off from his own for his friend. Now the problem is v'i amrit sarach das, if you are going to entertain, like the question that we had posed in the beginning of this amit, that you need to have the das of the chaver even when you're being termed mishaloy ashal chaver. We're just trying to prove that our mission is talking about the case that we asked in the beginning of the Gemara, that it's the person is taking from his own grain for someone else's crop. Now, if you're going to entertain that you need to have his das, as we said, because maybe it's the person's mitzvah, and although it's a schus, and you could do it shaloy b'fanav, but if you're going to say that you need his das, again, because it says mitzvah, then hokamahani lay, then you're going to be giving him pleasure, right? And the Ram points out that this is obviously superfluous because we just said this before, a second ago. If you think it's with the understanding of the Baal HaKri, hokamahani lay, so it's superfluous, but the Gemara is just illustrating this idea that if you say you need to have his das, you'd be giving him ano. El olav ain't sarach das. So rather, we could prove that obviously that you don't need his das. And when we're saying ledaitai in our Mishnah, whose das are we talking about? The das of the tayrim, of the one who made the nether against the other person. He's giving from his own grain to the other person. And the reason why it's not considered being mahana him is because he didn't ask him before he did it. Because if he asked him, which would be if you hold that you need to have his das, it would be like a shlichus. And since he didn't ask him, it's not like a shlichus. He's not really giving him anything because he didn't ask him. And therefore, that's why it's permitted for the mother to go ahead and take off truma on his other on the other person's grain. Now, there's a clearing question that the Ran addresses, and that is, forget about the fact that, okay, so he's obviously he doesn't need his das, and that will answer the question that we started off the Gemara before. The term Mishalalai Ashal Chaver, you don't need to have his das, and that's why it's not considered giving him hano of shlichus, but there's a very obvious hano over here. He's saving the person the money that he would have had to give a 1/50th of his crop for truma, because that person, who's the mother, is giving from his own grain. So therefore the Rashba says that obviously our Mishnah would be going like Chanan, who we mentioned in the previous daf, who Chanan holds that when you're just saving someone money, when you're paying up his debts, that's not considered giving someone ano, because if it was like the Rabbanan, then there wouldn't be any worse than when you pay up someone's debts, which are forbidden according to the Rabbanan. And that is considered giving ano. But the Ran actually says that no, you could even say our Mishnah is like the Rabbanim, and still it's permitted. The reason being is because since our Gemara is going to conclude that when someone is Torah Mishaloi Ashel Chaveroi, which the Gemara is going to address it in a different question, that the Tevis Hana, the choice of which kind you can give it to, goes to the Tarim, the one who's taking off the Truma, meaning from his own crop, not the one whose crop it's being done for, that he gets that Tevis Hana. So therefore you could say that since the Tarim gets to choose which kind he wants to give it to, therefore it's considered he's doing it for himself. And the fact that the owner of the crop gains that he doesn't have to take off Truma anymore, that's considered a secondary gain and wouldn't be considered a significant Hana to make it forbidden, and therefore there's no Raya that would be like Hana, it would be even possibly like Drabbanan. But either as it may, the Gemara is asking that seemingly from our Mishnah, you see clearly that you don't need to have the Das of the person that you're taking it off for, and if you're taking from your own grain for him, you could do it without his awareness. It's considered Zachan Adam Shalei Befanav, you don't need to have his Das with Alachas of Truma, and that's the why it's not going to be considered Hana in our Mishnah, because you're not giving Hana, because you're not asking him, you're not doing his Shlichas. Another Gemara says, no, there's no Raya from our Mishnah. Because the way you describe the case through process of elimination is incorrect. La'ayla mishal balakri al balakri. Truth is, it's talking about not like the way you tried defining it, that it's talking about like the case we were discussing in our Gemara, where it's mishaloi ashal chaveroi. It's actually talking about that this madr went and took from that person's own grain to take truma for that person's own crop. Now, however, the explanation is kedama Rava, like Rava says, which the halacha of Rava is said, according to the Girsa of the Ran, in the next question the Gemara is going to pose of Rabbi Yirmiya, Rava answers with this type of phrase, which Rava says, ba'oimakala roitza litrim yovavi yitrim. It's talking about in a specific type of a case, where the homeowner says, whoever wants to take up truma could come and take up truma. So hachanami, here also in the case of our Mishnah, it's talking about ba'oimer v'chulu, where the person says, the homeowner says, kalaroitza litrim yovavi yitrim. Whoever wants to come and take up truma from my grain could go ahead and take up truma. Now, therefore, in such a type of a case, we're walking a fine line over here, because there's a problem over here. When someone is a madu to someone else, and he wants to take off his truma, in a sense, he needs to have that person's das, because there's halacha of truma, of gam'atim, that you need to have das. On the other hand, if he has his awareness, he runs into the problem of doing his shlichus, and he can't, because that will be giving hanotim, and he's forbidden based on a nedit to give him hanot. So on that, the Gemara says, it's not a problem. We have a way to walk through this contradiction. And that is because it's like Rava said, when the homeowner says, whoever wants to do it can do it. Now, in such a case, it'll take care of both elements. It's going to help for Truma when you need Gam Atim, you need to have his Das, because the homeowner already said that my Das is whoever does it can do it. So therefore, that's going to help when this guy comes and does it, even though he doesn't know that he's doing it, because he said whoever does it can do it. Now, however, it also works the other way around, where regarding the fact that he's a mudr hana from him, and he can't be doing things for him, like a shlichus, since here he didn't make him into the shliach, he's not aware that he's doing it for him, he just said whoever does it can do it, that's not considered a hana, because he didn't make him the shlich itself. So that's walking that fine line between the two of them. Now, the Ram points out that you have to be careful, and that's why it has to be this fine line, of either polar regarding these two elements of the fact that Truman needs Das and the problem of Shlichus can't have Das. And the reason being is specifically this, where the person says, whoever wants to take off Truman could come and take off Truman. Because if he would say, let's say, a little bit different, let's say he says, Kol HaShemei HaKoyli Yitrim, whoever hears my voice should take off Truman. Now the problem with that is that would make it into a full-fledged Shlichus. And that would be forbidden in our case of when the person's a Mudr Hana. The reason being is, as the Gemara tells us in Masechet Ksubos, Daf Ayin, if let's say someone says, whoever hears my voice should feed my wife. So actually, the one who comes and feeds the wife has done the shlichus of the husband, and actually we then mandate the husband to pay up that person. And the proof from that is from Halacha and Masechet Gittin, that works by a get, where if someone says, let's say, whoever hears my voice should write a get for my wife, then they go out and they write a get, because it's considered a direct shlichus. Therefore, it's only where he says, whoever wants to come and take up truma could go and take it. That's not a full-fledged shlichus. Now, however, you have to be careful the other direction too. And that is, when we said that for truma, it will help, It's only when he says it in this type of terminology, because it's somewhere in the middle. Therefore, regarding mudr, it's not a shlichus, but for trum, it's still enough das for it to work. But if let's say he said, whoever takes the truma hasn't lost, there's no loss to them. So on that, the Ran says that maybe actually for truma that wouldn't be enough das. Because that's not like a good enough terminology like Yavav Yitrim that he should come and take a truma. And actually, moreover, it's proof from that sugi over there where it says that someone says, Kol azon eina mafsid, whoever feeds my wife hasn't lost, and then someone goes and feeds the wife, he's not obligated to pay. Because it wasn't even any element of shlichus whatsoever. Just so you're not going to lose. I didn't say I'm going to pay you back. You just didn't cause any damage to me. So therefore, it's this fine line that the Gemara is saying that there's no proof to the question that we asked. We don't know yet if a term Mishalei Shechavera you need is das or not. Because the Halacha of Mishnah is not talking about Mishalei Shechavera. It's talking about from the Balakri al Balakri. And we're walking a fine line. It's because how Rava says it, which we're going to introduce in the next sugya, about where it's, he says, Kala Tayrim, whoever wants, Kala Reitz Litrim, Yavav Yitrim, where it's enough das that it works into gam atem for the halachas of requiring shlichas to be midas of truma. At the same time, it's not that much of das to be considered shlichas for the violation of neder, which would be considered giving him a hana. Now, related, which was referring to this halacha of Rava, the Gemara says, "Bayimene Reb Yirmi Reb Zera." Reb Yirmi asked the following question from Reb Zera: "Hatari mishaloy ashel chavera. If someone goes and." Similar type of case that we mentioned before. Someone takes from his own produce and takes a truma for his friend's crop. Now, the previous question was, do you need to have his das? This question is a different question. Tevis ha-no shel mi. Who is it that gets the halacha, what's called the favor of the pleasure? In other words, who gets to decide what's the address of this truma? Which kohen gets this truma? Is it the one who took off the truma from his own grain? Or is it the balakri, the one whose produce is being trumed by this truma? Now, taivas hanah means that there's a monetary value to decide which kohen gets it, because you could have a Yisrael, a non-kohen, who would be willing to pay a homeowner to say, look, my grandson is a kohen, because my daughter married a kohen, so my grandson's a kohen. I'm going to pay you a certain amount of money. Do me a favor, you giving truma to Kayan. Anyway, give it to my grandson. Now, the reason why it would be specifically in that case, because a Kayan is forbidden to go to Yisrael to pay him to give him his truma, and that is even if a Kayan supports and helps out in the base like Granis, the Gemara says, that's a problem. But what we'd be talking about is that there's a monetary value for who gets it, so who gets to decide? So he could be Tari Mashal Chaver, maybe with Das, maybe without Das, but who gets to decide? Who gets that monetary value of deciding which coin it goes to? So the Gemara explains the question. Mir min do we say, Ilav perid dehayef. If not for the produce, for the grain of the tirim, of this person who's taking the truma from his own produce, mi mesakne kariyat dahu, would this other person's crop ever have been fixed? So therefore, what's causing it to be done is the tirim, because he's fixing it by taking over his truma. But he gets to decide? Idimo, maybe you say the other way around. Ilav kari dahu, if not for that person's crop, lahavin perid aden truma. This person who's trying to give truma, it wouldn't be truma, because truma is only when you're taking off from a new crop. So who is it that's the main definition of this truma that gets to decide who goes to? So Amalei Reb Zera said to Reb Yirmi, he says, Amakra, the pasuk says in Devarim, it says, as kol tevuas zarecha, that all the produce of your seed, and the next pasuk continues, vinosato, and you will give it. So it sounds like that the giving, again, where it's who gets to give it, is contingent on zarecha, the one whose seed is it, meaning the bal hakri, the one whose produce it is. So Reb Zera wanted to prove that you see from there that it's not the terim, although he's offering from his own stuff and giving truma, he doesn't get to decide. Tevas no, actually goes to the bal hakri. Now, that eats Reb Zera is asked on from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, as recorded before, that we said that the one who made a ned against someone else can still take over his trumas and maisus for him. So, now if you think like Reb Zera trying to say that the tevas ano, that monetary value of getting to decide who goes to, of where it gets earmarked to, is the gain of the balakri, the problem is, but then it turns out that the madr is giving a certain pleasure to this mudr. And the reason being is because he's giving this favor of where the truma gets to go to. Now, that's a taivas anah that he's getting from him. So even if we said that, let's say, the fact that he's taking from his own, let's say, truma, own produce for the other person is not considered anah, either like chanan or even like drabanan, but the problem is that he's giving him a hanah of the taivas anah. The fact that he gets to decide where it goes to has a monetary value. And he's not allowed to give him hanah, ashma manah, taivas anah delay. So therefore, the Gemara wants to refute Reb Zera, and you see, therefore, obviously, that the taivas anah is the one that was tayrim. So therefore, it's not giving anah to that person. Another Gemara says, Amri Loi. They said, no. Actually, the case of our Mishnah is talking about Mishal Balakri, Ashal Balakri, and this is how we refuted the Raya from our Mishnah regarding the previous Gemara's question. If you need Das or not, the Gemara says the same thing here also. It's from the Balakri on the Balakri. Ula Daite the Balakri. And it's also talking about that there is the awareness of the Balakri. Now, if there's the awareness of Balakri, we said that that's going to be a problem, first of all, of giving him a no of his shlichas. So now the Gemara says, as we explained in the previous Gemara, that it's talking about, like, and some have the gears of Ukadama Rava, like Rava said, that's the Rava that we mentioned before. No, that he said, whoever wants to come and take off truma for me could go ahead and take off truma for me. So therefore, that's not a violation of shlichas, because he's not really being his shlichas to be considered giving anah of shlichas. And moreover, he's not giving him hanah of tevas anah of getting to decide who it goes to, because it's not talking about that he's taking mishaloi for him. He's taking his own grain and taking truma for his own crop. So if that's the case, since the truma is his own, so of course he gets to decide where it goes to. But it's not, and the reason is as we said, he's not a shlich. So there's no raya that the toivas hanah goes to the tayrim and not to the balakri, because here we're talking about that actually the one who's taking off the truma is not taking off from his own things. Actually, it could be that it's the balakri who gets the toivas hanah. And even though the Balakri is getting the Tevas Anah, so he's giving him a favor, he's not giving him a favor because it is his own. It's only when you're doing Mishaloy al Shachaveri, then you're giving him that Tevas Anah. But of course, the one that it's his own grain taking for his own crop, of course, he's the one that gets to decide where it's going to, and if you're not giving him anything in such a situation. So the Masa Tashma, let's bring a raya regarding this question. Because seemingly clearly, Damar Babo Amar B'yechin, he says, Hamakdish, if someone sanctifies an animal for his friend who needs to bring a carbon. So he says, don't worry, I know you can't afford a carbon. I'm going to sanctify this carbon for you. Now, then the carbon develops a blemish. So then, although a carbon cannot be redeemed, but if it develops a blemish, it can be redeemed. So now, if he wants to redeem it, in this context, the makdish, not the one who the carbon is being brought for, but the one who sanctified it, is considered the bailim, and that is moisev chaymish. He has to add on a fifth of the value of the carbon if he wants to deconsecrate it. And the reason being is, the halacha is that only the owners, when they want to redeem a carbon, have to add on a fifth when they're redeeming their kachim. So the question is, who's considered the bailam? There's the owner of the one who is being brought for, and then you have the one who sponsored it. So now Rabbi Yechonon says that the one who sponsored it is considered the bailam in the sense of that he wants to be poited, he has to add a fifth, but actually the other one who is being brought for wouldn't have to add the fifth. Whereas, umeskaper oisa temura. That is, however, in regards to making a temura, which is when someone says, I want to transfer the kedusha of this carbon to another animal, where actually they both become kaddish now, and they both have the sanctity. So in this case, actually, the one who he's acquiring the carbon to work for his sin, he, in this context, is called the owners. And he could create the transference of the kedusha of temura, but the one who is makdish it, who sponsored it, he actually wouldn't be able to make the kedusha of temura. And the Gemara Masechta Temura learns it out from Sukkim. Now, however, the third halacha is the one that we want to bring a proof from, Va'atari Mishaloi, Asha'en Mishaloi, someone that takes of truma from his own produce for someone else's crop that's not his, Taivas Hana Shaloi, the Taivas Hana, we see clearly, Rabbi Yechonon says, is of the Tayrim. That is not like the Gemara had wanted to say before, that you could say our Mishnah is talking about even Shabal Hakri. So he says clearly that it's going to be the one that's taking off the truma, he's the one that gets to take off the truma, and that is like we said, Reb Zeira wanted to say, he wanted to say that it's going to be the Zaracha v'Nesata, that it's the one that is, it's the Bal HaKri that gets it, and that we said, from we wanted a proof from the Mishnah, and the Gemara said, there's no proof from the Mishnah, but the Ran says, now, if that's the case, Reb Zeira seemingly had a pasuk that said, and we asked a question on the Mishnah and it wasn't difficult on him, it seems like that it's Zarach of Nesata. It says that the one who's seed, the Balakri, he's the one that gets to decide. And Rabbi Yechon is saying that's not true. It's the one who is the one that Tayrim gets to. So therefore the Ran says that you have to say that Benesat is not going back on the word before of Zar Echa, but rather it's going back in the beginning of that pasuk, where it says Aster to Aster is called Tavua Zar Echa, that you have to take off tithes from your seed, and then Benesata, it's saying that Aster to Aster, in other words, the Ma'aser, the one that's giving the Ma'aser, meaning the one that's being Tayrimit, he's the one that merits in the Benesata. He gets to decide which Levi goes to, and that's how the Gemara explains this in Masechtas Tmura, and therefore it's not a contradiction from that pasuk, although Reb Zeira brought that as a raya from the pasuk, that it's the Baal HaKri that gets to decide who, that he gets the Tevis Na, and that the Gemara concludes from Rabbi Yechanan that it's actually not true, that it's the Tevis Na is actually from that of the Tarim, the one who takes of the Trum for the other one, he gets the Tevis Na, because Benesat is going back on Aster to Aster, and the one who's being Ma'aser, the one who's giving it, he gets to decide who it goes to.